Triple Option back in studio. Blair, Tyler, and Hill, the three Gunthers. We're going to be talking about a little bit of high school football because really we're just counting down to sectionals. I think it's any other sport. You're getting near the end. We got Purdue. I don't know. We'll see how that goes because yesterday we didn't get that one right at all. And then we got to talk about college because there's some, I don't want to say shakeup of the SEC, but I think you're starting to see the national championship pictures shake out. We got our top four teams. We got our picks for the week. It's all coming up. But first, we're starting in high school. Pops, you picked CC to lose two straight weeks in a row. CC did not lose either of those weeks. Dumb luck. They know how to win close games because of years past. Things have fallen their way. What are you feeling? What do you got in your crystal ball here?
I think it's a combination of both because it sounds like in talking to you yesterday that they've had some luck because they've turned the ball over, had punts blocked, and somehow is still able to pull a victory out. So I think it's a combination of, you know, knowing how to win, I guess, maybe coaching staff, but having some luck on this.
Okay, so big matchup. West Lafayette played a Seager team that, no disrespect to them, is not super good. They killed them. West Lafayette Central Catholic. It's the game we've been waiting for all season. There's one loss between the two of them, and I think they've had one like opponent. No, that's not true. They're the same conference. They have several like opponents, but I think the easiest one to compare it to is CC just beat Rensselaer Central by a point. Took a last, I think CC threw a touchdown with a minute left. So it took that last second, and West Lafayette, I think, beat them by about, I think it was 11. I'm pretty sure it's double digits. And it's ipso facto because Rensselaer Central, I think, was like West Lafayette's second game. But based on what you've seen through the first seven games of the season, what are you expecting for West Lafayette Central Catholic?
First eight games of the season, you mean?
Excuse me, eight games.
Well, I think, obviously, CC continues to figure out ways to win games, even though it looks like they've got chances to give them away. But, and, you know, I think this could be a close one early, but I just think that West Lafayette will win this one by at least 10 points and possibly two touchdowns.
Okay, another question. CC's played close games, which I don't think is ever a bad thing. It's a good experience to learn how to win close games. West Lafayette's only had one game that they haven't won by double digits. Now, granted, this is an experienced team. We've talked about that all season. Are you slightly concerned when they get in the playoffs that they might struggle if a game is close late, considering how much they've been winning all year?
No, I mean, I don't think CC really had issues when they were going undefeated, you know, because they were blowing teams out and there was concern. Boy, if we get in a close game, I don't know if we know what to do. No, I don't. I think that's irrelevant.
Okay, big focus this week is obviously West Lafayette CC. We're staying short in high school because we're waiting for the playoffs, but you got to touch on the other three Greater Lafayette schools. Jeff, Harrison, McCutcheon, they all have one game left. Over, under, that the three of them combined to get at least one postseason win. Taking the over, or taking the under?
Well, from what we've known, Jeff and McCutcheon have pretty favorable sectional draws, even though, what did Jeff do this week?
They got smoked. They've lost six times in increasing fashion. It's like 1, 3, 7, 14, 40, and 40. They got destroyed by Fishers.
I guess I'll go over, but I think it's only because of McCutcheon and their draw. I think Jeff is just... I don't know how Kennedy maintains a job because, I mean, the football program, which has a proud history, has just basically been, you know, last year they won, what, three games, and, I mean, they want to have, like, a celebration. I mean, that's pretty pathetic for a Jeff program that has a rich heritage. And then Harrison also has a rich heritage, and, boy, they're even worse, which is kind of hard to imagine between Jeff and Harrison. But I think McCutcheon's going to have to be the one to be the one, the multi-game winner in the playoffs.
Okay. Jumping back to Central Catholic of West Lafayette, I think West Lafayette's one of the favorites to make a run to a state championship. We talked about that. Central Catholic, you said, I think last week, you were worried about them getting out of the regionals. Does this win over Rensselaer Central give you a little bit more confidence, or are you still sitting on the same boat? You're looking, we'll see what happens, I guess, after regionals.
I want to see what happens. I want to see the draw because, you know, this obviously is going to be a completely different animal versus last year and see who they're going up against. The sectional, I think they'll probably get out. They could possibly get out of the regional, but the semi-states where you're going to start running into the bigger schools that maybe that could match the speed and the size of, if not being bigger. So I really want to see the draw, and I don't think the draw has happened yet.
Okay, so that's it. We're waiting for West Lafayette CC. It's been the biggest game. I wrote in my preview that it's going to be the biggest game in the area until we get to the playoffs. And I think, let me ask you a quick refrain. Does Central Catholic, obviously West Lafayette versus CC gives West Lafayette an idea of what to prepare for the playoffs. Does CC give West Lafayette something to keep an eye out for the playoffs? I mean, West Lafayette is good, and, you know, we talk about the farther up the classes move, the bigger and faster the teams get. So playing somebody like West Lafayette obviously preps CC for what they should expect in the deeper level of playoffs. Does CC do anything for West Lafayette?
Well, CC's a quality opponent. I mean, you're going to start seeing those probably beyond the sectionals, so it might not be the size of the teams you're going to see, but probably the speed. So I think they could probably take away something from it also, because, you know, again, CC's obviously at 7-1. CC's no chopped liver. So yeah, I mean, this should help prepare West Lafayette, too.
All right, well, there you go. Central Catholic fans, Pops is hard on the West Lafayette bandwagon. Now we got to move somewhere where football is not going so well. I believe, and I'm saying this sarcastically, we picked a fairly two-sided high-scoring game for the football game that happened to be in Rosay this past weekend. And it was a one-sided game. It was not pretty. And Pops, what do you take away from it? Because maybe, let's be honest, a little bit of a fan, I'm probably buying into the system. We wanted to see success, but it was ugly.
Unfortunately, it's been basically the story of the season, taken outside the game that they actually won. I mean, they're just getting blown out. I hope it's not these guys quitting on Hazel, but boy, it's just, the more I saw, it would appear to me that Hazel's playing more and more freshmen.
And a lot of them.
Well, obviously, then he's already decided that, I'm not to say the season is over, but you might as well start getting them some experience. But, you know, if that's going to be the case and you're going with a freshman quarterback, I don't know if there's anybody on this remaining schedule that suggests a win is around the corner. I mean, logically, they probably could put something together and beat one of these teams, but boy, this has gotten ugly. And, you know, I don't think any of us are sarcastic. We said what we said because Nebraska's defense,
I didn't mean sarcastic about the win. I meant I was saying sarcastically that it was not a two-sided game.
That, you know, Nebraska's defense has been just brutal. Absolutely horrible. And then all of a sudden they come into Purdue and it looks like they have one. I mean, I don't think anybody would have really thought that.
Ty, what were your thoughts on the game?
It was the same thing over and over again on the Purdue offense, where they put 3-4 receivers out there, tried to show off Etling's arm, and the offensive line couldn't stop a trickle of the defensive line and just went right through and pressured him. He could never really get anything off. That was the day over and over again.
Yeah, I think the stat was Purdue finished with something under 40 rushing yards because they had like 50 yards in sacks. The offensive line did struggle a lot. I'm not gonna deny that. I think that Etling had a little bit of an issue with holding on the ball too long. I think Nebraska's safety was, Purdue was on the 17-yard line. That's on the quarterback. You got to toss the ball away at some point. Speaking of the freshman, D'Angelo Yancey, I believe, have something like 5 catches for a buck 40, something like that, on touchdown. He had the 55-yard score with like 39 seconds left. And so over the last two games, I think it's like 12 catches for 263 with one touchdown. And I just bring it up because we're all over Purdue. Not like, well, let's shut the system down, but there's so much bad going on. I think it's nice to point out something good because it looks like Yancey's looking like a playmaker and Etling has a bit of a rapport with him. But at the same time, Pops, how much do you factor in the fact that Purdue's been down big in both those games? I mean, I don't want to make excuses, but you throw a 55-yard touchdown with 39 seconds left in a game that's 30-0 or 37-0.
44.
That.
You could dismiss it as maybe they're playing in prevent defense, but he's a freshman, and you just got to take whatever he does and go forward because basically Purdue, I think Hazel's decided to hell with it, and we're going to go with freshmen. I don't know if you're in a position at Purdue just if you want to dismiss anything. I think you just, you know, you look for the best and I don't know. The only thing I can tell you is it's hard to be optimistic when you're setting at, what, 1-5 and you still got 6 games left and they're just getting blown out. 40, I mean, the average, other than a win, the score is probably somewhere near 40-some to around 8, anywhere from 7 to 10. I think the best thing to do is just get the football season over and let's move on to basketball.
Wow. Okay, Tyler, you got a slightly less doom and gloom response than that.
I mean, I kind of want Kenny Guyton's autograph when Ohio State comes to town, but that's about it. I don't know. Am I the only one that likes Kenny Guyton and not Braxton?
Good shot in the arm for Purdue's morale. I want
hopefully
Ohio
we get
State's
Kenny
autograph.
Guyton to transfer over.
Kind of like on the replacements. Psst, hey man, can I get your autograph?
Okay, well the defense. Tyler talked about this last week that he thought the Etling move was good just because you would hope that the offense could stay on the field more and get the defense off. The defense forced, I think, was it 3 interceptions? I believe it was 3 picks, and they gave up 44 points. Now, we had this conversation early in the season because they were generating turnovers and getting blown out. Is the defense got something here to build off of because they're taking the ball away? Or is it bad decisions because they're giving up? I guess I'm trying to find the balance between losing 44-0, but still taking the ball away 3 or 4 times.
Yeah, I guess. I mean, you know, I mean, you're really searching for positives. Yeah, I suppose they take the ball away, but the problem is what does it mean in the outcome? Usually if you take the ball away and I'm assuming they weren't plus on the turnover side.
I think they were +1 actually.
That's usually an indication, you know, at least in the pro football, where it is that translates into college. But if you're winning the turnover battle, you should be in a position to win. But you look at the scoreboard and you're like, this doesn't work out. I mean, you're plus on turnovers. You look up the scoreboard, it's 44-0 until just a desperation pass late in the game. So it's really hard to make anything out of this other than just to say it's freshmen, they're going to take their lumps, and the old saying is the best thing about freshmen is they become sophomores. I don't see this team winning more than 3 games this year. And clearly, whatever's happened of either the seniors that left or the freshmen that came in or just the complete change from whatever Danny Hope ran, and I still don't know what offense he ran, even almost a year after he got canned. And what Hazel's doing is obviously like night and day because it's Purdue is just not able to do much against anybody.
Let's talk about that because, you know, last year one of the biggest criticisms Hope took is that he always had that line, despite the fact Purdue, you know, there's one thing to guarantee Big Ten championships and not make it, but it's the thing where he you know, you play Michigan and Wisconsin back-to-back and lose by like 60 combined points, and you say, "Oh, we're close. I like the effort in practice." And then he gets mad that he's being criticized that he's losing by 30 points. Compare the way that to you compare, and then let's hear your opinions on the way Hope's handled adversity and Hazel's handling adversity.
What really got irritating in listening to Danny Hope was it's like I just said, it's like, yeah, we played well in practice. The uniforms look real good. The grass on the stadium looked real good. We're still a good team, you know. And if we could, I remember after they lost 5 in a row, and they were 5-6 going to the Indiana game. You know, we win one more game, we're still going to have a good season. I'm sorry, going 6-6 in my book is not a good season. Now maybe it is for Danny Hope, but it's not for me. And I think anybody who wanted to remotely ask him a critical question, he was offended because he didn't want to hear it. What he wants is a bunch of Purdue fans that I call, you know, Purdue apologists who just want to ask him, "Coach, you look good out there today. How do you feel? Coach, boy, I really like to support the team. Anything you say, I agree with." And you know, I'm sorry, I can't do that. I don't work that way. I've not heard that from Hazel. I mean, I think it was after the Wisconsin game. He said, "This team needs to do some soul searching." Can you imagine Danny Hope saying that?
No, that's why I brought it up.
I think I think Purdue fans do not want smoke blown up their ass about the season. And so far, I haven't heard it. I mean, you know, you can't really try to wax over this and say, yeah, we're still a pretty good team. And despite the fact that they're getting outscored by, you know, and they're giving up 40 points a game and maybe scoring a touchdown. No, you're not. You're not a very good team right now. Let's admit it, okay? Let's admit it, but that what you're looking to build upon is these freshmen. Clearly, Hazel has decided the future is the freshmen, and the freshmen are going to make mistakes, and they did, you know, and Etling, who looked good towards the end versus Northern Illinois, couldn't do much against a Nebraska team that was just coming into this game, their defense was brutal. So all you can do is hope that they can win a game or two, maybe hang your hat on that, you know, winning one or two games is going to be your bowl game. I mean, I suppose beating Indiana, if they could beat IU at the end of the year, people will say that's their bowl game because they won the bucket. And, you know, and maybe for Purdue fans, I mean, I guess it's, well, you're really reaching, but I mean, I guess it's something to hold your hat on. But did any of us in this room think this team would be this bad?
No.
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 I mean, this is even is worse than what we saw at Hope. For me, who's you guys constantly call me Mr. Pessimistic.
Because you are.
Yeah.
No, it's called realism.
No, it's not.
Well, that's your opinion. The thing is I'm still trying to give Hazel the doubt because he looks like a legitimate college coach, and he wasn't hired on accident because he was a friend of a friend of a friend, and he probably would take less, which was how they hired Hope. They spent money on this guy. Clearly, I don't think his first year at Kent State was very good either.
No,
but
it wasn't.
But there was a significant, they got better significantly between the first and the second, correct?
Yes.
Okay,
they
well.
Won, they, I mean, all you have to know is they lost one game.
Well, I'm not saying that's going to happen here, that, you know, we're going to be in the talk of the BCS, but you have to hang your hat on the fact that Hazel rebuilt the Kent State program, and you're putting your faith that he can do that to this program.
I'm going to come back to you, but Todd, I just want to get your thoughts, because as someone who's probably heard more of Hazel than Pops has, what do you think about the way Hope handled the adversity last year versus what Hazel's doing this year?
I think Hazel's handling it better, but I don't honestly don't know what he's supposed to say. There's not really much to say out there, and I've heard people who are already getting mad about it, but there's not a whole lot he's going to do. He's going to play as freshman, but they're not going to blow you away. He's not playing five-star kids. He's playing kids that came to Purdue, and some are, you know, Edling's a four-star quarterback, but not everybody out there is a superstar, so it's going to take some time, and it's not going to happen immediately, and no one came into this whole rebuild, return, what was it?
Reshape
and everything.
It's on your wrist.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah, read your wrist, kind of like quarterbacks do.
No one said rebuild, reshape was rebuild, reshape in the next month. It's obviously a process if you're going to make that your slogan. No one makes that their slogan for halfway through the season and be like, well, we're good.
Well, he might.
Now we're back.
Purdue might want to change it to rebuild, and we'll get back to you later.
Well, speaking of that, I want to ask you this question. I want to pose this question for you. Under Hope, okay, so the team didn't really improve. I mean, they were 4-8 and then 5-7 and like 6-6 twice before 12, because they had two bowl games, obviously. So they were 7-6 and 6-7 on opposite years. So that would look like stuck in the middle. Okay, so Hope was never as bad as this season, because this season legitimately looks like it could be 1-11, maybe 3-9 at best. However, should we consider that a positive, because as opposed to maintaining mediocrity, which it looked like Hope did in his 4 years, Hazel's tearing the whole thing down and starting from the beginning?
Well, you're going to have to, because that's just the way it looks like we're heading. I mean, if you go with all freshmen, this is what's going to happen. And whoever the hell set this schedule up didn't do Hazel favors. Because this is compared to what Hope had, and specifically the non-conference, this is a very difficult schedule. I mean, and that's not helped his progress. So he has no control over that. So that's one thing you have to take into consideration. But playing a lot of freshmen, which he started to do, you're going to have these games. It's just that the key for him is he's going to have to recruit as good as everybody thinks he can. I mean, you could say he made some inroads this year, but he come in January when most of the recruiting, or a lot of the recruiting probably, was done. Boy, he's going to have to hit, him and his coaches are going to have to hit the recruiting trail, because, again, they need players, and they need good football players bad. They're just going to have to try, and maybe they're going to have to continue to tweak the offense to get the ball out quicker. And why not? I don't know if they ever, how often, or if they went to kind of a no-huddle set, or just get to the line and run plays, but whatever. You got to put Etling in the best position he can to make some plays.
Let's leave Purdue for this week. Let's move on to the Big Ten a little bit, because I was tweeting about this earlier on the account, the triple option. For the preseason picks, that Michigan and Northwestern were the two biggest threats to Ohio State. I think that now, and granted, Ohio State already beat Wisconsin, but it's Wisconsin and Michigan State, because it looked like this past week, Michigan State has found their quarterback that's going to be able to move the ball.
I think more importantly, they found their quarterback who can move the ball on occasion with the running game that will do most of the heavy lifting.
And Pops, what do you think? Because Northwestern, Wisconsin, they got shots. Michigan just, I don't know what happened after the Notre Dame game, but Michigan State hit a wall, and they hit it hard.
You mean Michigan?
Yeah, that's what I meant.
Nobody.
Wait, what? Nobody?
Okay, no. That was not an option in this question.
You think the number one defense doesn't have a chance to beat that team?
No, because I think they're going to wear him down. I mean, I guess Michigan State, but I still think Ohio State's going to win this. But I don't know. Again, this is not the Big Ten just doesn't have the balance of good teams. I mean, or really good teams. I mean, they have some good teams, but obviously, I think Northwestern, after going into what was their biggest game at Ohio State, and then they just got the hell beat out of them. I think they just were pretenders. Michigan, I think, whether they were reading the publicity or what, I think I don't know about if they were ever that good. Wisconsin's already lost to Ohio State, so I think they're out. I guess Michigan State's the last guy standing. I mean, so could they give them a game with that defense? Yeah, it's possible. Do I think they will? No.
I'm still, you know, this bandwagon hasn't changed. You've been all over the Ohio State bandwagon that they're just going to run through the Big Ten all year long. And Tyler, I'm assuming you're in the same place with me because you mentioned Michigan State the beginning.
Yeah, I was the one that I think I took him from the beginning when we talked about this. I said Michigan State was my pick for wild card.
If they have a legitimate QB that can at least move the offense and the defense doesn't have to score 14 points a game, we might have something because Michigan, for you saying Michigan's overrated, and clearly they were, I still think Ohio State's overrated.
I'm not disputing that. They are in the national sense. But if you're looking at it just purely from the Big Ten, they're the best team.
Well, they got to come to Ross 8, and you know what happened when they came to Ross 8 just a few years ago?
Yes, Danny Hope, we know.
All right, so let's talk college, big-time college football. Georgia and Missouri was one of the picks that we made, and did any of us have the courage to pick Missouri? I know Tyler and I kicked around, but I think
I had the courage to say I thought Missouri would end up
making
a game.
I was going to say, did the expert over here pick them? Because he seems like
picked it the closest, though. I thought they'd actually make a game.
Apparently, that means Tyler won since he picked the game the closest.
Tyler did win. Okay, so let's talk about that. Georgia's BCS title hopes are done, but I just want to kind of...
I disagree.
You don't think so?
I disagree.
All right, well, let's hear it then.
Well, they only lost... Their only conference loss to Missouri, but Missouri lost James Franklin, which is not exactly boding well for the rest of their season. I mean, you lose your starting quarterback, very high-octane offense. It doesn't exactly spell great things. And, well, Georgia has two losses. Think about this. Last year, didn't they? They had two losses. I mean, they lost to South Carolina, and they still win. They beat South Carolina. If they go beat Florida, and Missouri gets tangled up in Florida and South Carolina, they could walk away and go to the SEC championship game.
Pops, you're shaking your head.
Hell, do you understand the question? BCS title.
No.
Yes, obviously,
I understand
you don't, because they're done. They could get to the BCS,
no,
but they're not going to win the title.
The
not
SEC
with two losses.
Because you said two loss team could never win a championship?
Not this year.
Why not this year?
Because there's still too many teams undefeated.
Oh, my gosh. The year LSU won it, there was all these undefeated teams who just lost at the end of the year. It's possible. And if they beat the number one team, people are going to say, hey, maybe they deserve a shot at it.
Well, it's possible the Great Pumpkin could show up at Halloween, too. I don't see that happening.
It's out of question.
Tyler, you're asking for a lot of things to have to fall right.
A lot of things can fall right.
And
we
that's,
had a lot
and
of
that's your basic...
teams walked away because
what are
a
the
lot
odds?
Of things fell
what
right.
What are the odds?
What are the odds? A lot of this stuff happens.
Not very good.
Okay, so obviously Pops doesn't agree. He thinks Georgia's out of the BCS picture. So reason
No,
Pops...
they could get into BCS, but the question was BCS title.
That's what
they
I'm saying.
They
could
still make
so
it because they play at the
if
number
they
one
go
conference.
Undefeated the rest of the season, do Georgia and Bama not play this year?
No.
Okay,
Bama
so if Georgia goes undefeated and meets Bama in the SEC championship game, and Alabama's undefeated, and
Georgia wins,
Georgia
you're saying,
wins.
No, don't even ask. Don't even ask. Pac-12, whatever. Big
because
10.
I gotta think that
they're not gonna put a two loss. I don't care what conference team it is in the damn BCS.
They put a team that had lost to the team earlier in the season.
They were the two best teams.
They
were.
So two best teams, a two loss. Don't even talk about it. Already had beaten. People would have said already beaten. You know, two best teams. That's what people are saying.
At this point,
two best teams.
Alabama, Oregon, and Ohio State. And possibly you could start throwing in maybe Northern Illinois, Louisville. All those guys are going to probably be undefeated. All right. Georgia's not going to get in ahead of all those guys because they play in the SEC.
Okay. Moving forward, what does this mean for Georgia's elimination? Not so much the BCS title picture, but for the rest of the SEC.
I've been saying it all year. It's going to come down to the first Saturday in November, Bama and LSU.
Yeah, but only one of those teams can get into the SEC championship game anyway.
Correct. But, you know, I mean, the East is completely wide open. Florida doesn't have an offense.
Not so much.
You know,
Murphy's been good.
South Carolina's okay, but I still don't buy him. And then, you know, maybe Tennessee could get into this thing because, I mean, Georgia's kind of beaten up. I don't know. It's unfortunately the schedule Georgia's had, as far as where we're at in the college season has been a bitch, and you know, and this is fourth top 25 opponent already, three were ranked in the top six, the East is wide open. I think it's East. You could just put any of those teams in versus obviously whoever wins to Bama and LSU.
All right, well, Tyler, I mean, does it change anything in the SEC picture for you?
No. It's still going to be the winner of LSU-Alabama versus Georgia.
All right, well, that's the pick. Okay, and then landscape-wise, let's go landscape-wise before we do our top four for our college this week. Stanford loses. You got Clemson and FSU undefeated. I want to make a statement here. I think that if Clemson wins FSU, they will be in the BCS title picture because I don't think anybody else in the ACC challenges them. I think if Florida State wins, the ACC will not be in the BCS title picture because I think Florida State will stumble just because they're so young. Agree,
you
disagree?
You think Miami's not?
No.
At number 10, no shot at all.
No.
All right, Tyler, explain what the rest of us don't get about Miami. As long as you explained about Georgia, now explain about Miami, how they could get in.
How they could get in?
Yes, I'm willing to listen.
We're going to have a multitude of undefeated teams, but you know, Miami goes 12-0, goes ACC champ. You know, don't even I'll tell them, you'll call them, be like, don't even show up to a bowl. Nobody cares, guys.
I don't think they're going to go undefeated. That's my statement. I think it's Clemson is the only one, in my opinion, that's good enough out of the ACC to be in the BCS title picture. I think Florida State is young, and I don't think Miami's there yet.
I agree.
I think Florida State's young and that they won't make it, but I think Miami has a shot just because of all that talent, and I think that they're in the right direction.
Well, maybe they can. That's my again, I was asking who agrees or disagrees. Pops agreed, you disagree. Okay, jumping out, Oregon beats Washington, Stanford loses. Anybody else in any other conference beside the SEC show you anything these past couple weeks? Because we haven't really talked big picture a whole lot. Is anybody in the other conferences that don't belong to the Southeastern Conference showing you anything that gives you any vote of, you know what, maybe
Baylor
as far as a BCS title contender?
Not a championship, but I think they could go to their first BCS game just because of that offense. As long as you score 70 points a game, there's not really a whole lot.
And that's
going
to continue, right? They're going to continue
Jesus
to score 70
Christ.
Points
no,
a game.
No, oh, so other teams going to go defeated, but God forbid somebody besides Oregon scores 70 points a game. It's impossible. Someone needs to call Baylor and tell them what they're doing is a lie. That they've lied
Tyler,
to people
Baylor
on the scoreboard.
Baylor doesn't have Purdue on the schedule, okay? So I don't see
they
them
got
scoring
the Big
70 points a
it's
game.
Pretty close.
Pretty close. That was funny. I think I get it. I mean, offense is offense. Okay, fine. They don't score 70. Then maybe they score 40.
Maybe they score
that's
63.
That's a decent statement. Pops, what about anything, I guess, Tyler, expanded, catch your eye in terms of, we'll say BCS in general as opposed to just the title game.
No.
Nothing at all.
No,
nothing. Like, hey,
I
that
don't
could
care.
Be an interesting surprise.
Until one of these teams beats the SEC, it's just this. It's just blah, blabble, blabble, blabble. I don't care. It's the best teams are still in the SEC. Whoever they send, I still think is going to be favored and will win. And I will believe that until another conference beats a SEC team in the national championship.
Okay, well, we got to do our top four. So let's start with that. Pops, what are your top four teams for this week?
Bama, LSU, Oregon, and Clemson.
Tyler?
I got to go with the same. Bama, Oregon, LSU, Clemson.
Can we agree on something?
Oh, my God. You think that everything's going to go until these certain things are... What about that Alex Smith Chiefs thing? The thing that was going to burn in a way and go away because, God forbid, 2 years ago, Alex Smith could have another good season. He's a fluke. Throw him out. Tell him to retire because he had one good season. That's nothing happens twice good. Everything goes bad immediately. Everyone gets one fluke season, and they might as well just retire, go away.
What are you talking about?
It's kind of true, Pops.
You
do have
when
that attitude.
When Syracuse had the good first year with Alex Smith, you're like, Alex Smith, never do it again. Don't even ask. He'll never do it again. He's just a fluke.
All right, I'm actually going to agree with you. I have the same four as you guys. All right, and we got to talk about our five wild cards this week, okay? So we have Bears and Colts, obviously. You got Denver at Indy, which we would have picked that anyway, obviously. And you got Bears at Redskins. And I'm looking at college football this week. I'm thinking, I got four games here, Pops. You are normally the hardest to please.
I don't know. not. I said actually, pick them. Whatever.
Actually, no. I picked. I gave him this. I picked four. I want to know what you'd like out of these.
All right. That's why I said I just said it in a snarky way. Here you
go. Okay. Wait. I think Florida State Clemson has to be a for sure. Well, it's 5-3.
I'm gonna read them. Would you let me read them?
No. I'm gonna read them.
All right. Here you go, Pops. You ready? I'm gonna give you the rankings too. Just okay. So you got number 22 Florida at number 14 Missouri. You got number 9 UCLA at 13 Stanford. 24 Auburn at 7 Texas A&M, and number 5 Florida State at 3 Clemson.
Well, obviously you're gonna do that because it's 5-3.
Which one do you not like out of those other ones?
Game? I don't know. I kind of don't want to pick Stanford just because I think they suck now. But that's just me.
Can I, Tyler, throw an opinion out?
I'm throwing my opinion out.
You just did it. He asked me, and you throw your opinion out.
This is the point. We all throw our
opinions
out. All right,
Pops, what is your which out of those?
All right, Tyler, what's my opinion? So, because I apparently don't know it.
He didn't know. Which Pops out of the other three, which one do you not like?
I want nothing to do with Texas A&M.
Okay, so this week we're going to pick Bears Colts. Obviously, we got Florida State Clemson, which was a no-brainer. We got Florida at Mizzou, and then we got UCLA at Stanford. Those are our 5 wild cards this week. Look out for them tomorrow. You got the high school games, last game of the regular season. We got Big Ten, and of course, we got 5 wild cards, so check them out. Our records are pretty good. I haven't tallied up this past week's yet, but I know last week's I was only down 2 games, and I had a 75 winning percentage, which I think is pretty good. It's pretty good. That's going to do it for the triple option this week. I'm Blair Gunther.
Tyler Gunther.
I don't know.
Watch out for the pitch.